NBC News presents another special report. Tonight, Alabama, USA, the story of continued racial violence in the Deep South. And here is NBC News correspondent Frank McGee. Late today, the federal government made its first arrest since the current wave of racial violence began sweeping the state of Alabama about 8 days ago. Four white men accused of throwing a firebomb into a stalled bus outside Anniston, Alabama, were arrested by the FBI. Later today, federal marshals were withdrawn from the streets of Montgomery, Alabama. The Justice Department said they will remain at Maxwell Air Force Base at the edge of the city, but that Alabama National Guard and local police appear to have the situation under control. Earlier, Attorney General Robert Kennedy announced 200 additional marshals were being sent to the city, but it developed later that these will replace marshals already on the scene, so the number will not be enlarged. Kennedy made these other points at a news conference.
If it hadn't been for the fact that the U.S. Marshals were in the area, there's no question that there would have been major and very bloody violence in Montgomery, Alabama.
Why were Marshals sent in instead of federal troops?
I think that they are far more appropriate. They can handle the situation. I would be strongly against, the President is, of sending troops into any area except at the last resort. I think that the marshals could handle a situation and demonstrated last evening that they were, in fact, able to handle a situation. I think that this is an adequate force to deal with the problem and difficulty, particularly now with the Governor Patterson recognizing the problems and difficulties, having called out the National Guard, and we having a very close working relationship with the National Guard. I hope that the situation would remain under control.
Now, this current Negro effort, which has been joined by some whites, is directed against segregated waiting rooms maintained at most bus stations in the South. Federal law says they may not segregate passengers who are going from one state to another, but many still do. Some maintain mixed waiting rooms for such passengers, with separate waiting rooms for those traveling between points but within the state. On the 5th of this month, a group of Negroes and whites that called itself Freedom Riders left Washington by bus for a trip across the South with the announced and publicized intention of using the waiting rooms reserved for whites only. They knew this would violate local law and inflame local opinion, but they knew also that the federal law said this was their right and they were determined to exercise it. Between May 5th and May 10th, there were several minor incidents at points in North and South Carolina. Then on May 15th, last Monday, the group, now split into two buses, entered Alabama. Passengers on one bus were attacked at the bus station in Anniston. Another bus, halted outside town by a flat tire, was set afire. And the first bus continued on to Birmingham, where some of its riders were again attacked in a brief but bloody episode. That night, this group, sponsored by the Congress of Racial Equality, abandoned its effort. Drivers had refused to operate any bus on which they were passengers, and the governor of Alabama, John Patterson, had said, "Citizens of the state are so enraged, I cannot guarantee protection for this bunch of rabble-rousers." This group then took a plane to New Orleans. However, on Wednesday, another racially mixed group arrived in Birmingham with the intention of taking up where the other had left off and continuing by bus to Montgomery, then across Mississippi and on to New Orleans. This group, formed of students from colleges in the Nashville, Tennessee area, tried Wednesday and part of Thursday to board buses for Montgomery. Thursday, they were arrested, and about midnight that night, they were spirited back to the Tennessee border and released, vowing they would return. Friday, they did return. That day, John Siegenthaler, who had been sent to confer with Governor Patterson as a personal representative of President Kennedy and the Justice Department, sent word to Washington that Patterson had assured him that he had the will, the force, the men, and the equipment to fully protect everyone in Alabama. Attorney General Robert Kennedy says the governor himself suggested that the bus company officials be told that the state would guarantee safety. The attorney general says it was based on his assurance of safe conduct that the students boarded the bus in Birmingham on their trip to Montgomery. NBC's Herbert Kaplow was on the scene. And to continue this narrative, we switch to WSB Atlanta, Georgia.
I joined an NBC camera crew in Birmingham Saturday morning, and immediately we went to the bus terminal in Birmingham where the Freedom Riders had been since the previous afternoon. They had not been able to get to Montgomery because the bus drivers would not drive them, fearing attack by segregationists along the way. Finally, an arrangement was worked out. With a company and a driver's union representative aboard, a bus did load and head out. Protected along the way by a state car following, with other state cars posted along the way. It took about 2 hours to make the 95-mile trip. We arrived in Montgomery, we were following, at about 10:15. Cameraman Maurice Levy, sound man Wee Risser, and I jumped out of our car to photograph the debarking from the bus itself. There was no large crowd around. I asked some of the riders what they intended to do. They said they did not yet know. Then a heavy-set man asked me whether I was one of the group. I said I was not. I noticed then that he was holding in his right hand an open penknife with a blade extended. A few moments later, someone else pointed out to this very same man that Levy was making pictures. The man, now the knife, I believe, had been put away because I no longer saw it, he went right to Levy and started to strike at him, which started this violence. Levy backed off, still trying to make some pictures. Others joined in the attack on the cameraman and on Risser, who was carrying sound equipment. Levy at one point fell to the ground, and the fat man kicked him. And then Levy got up, the camera was knocked from his hands, as was the small amplifier from Risser's. I hid some equipment under my coat. We were then forced down the street. I would guess there were probably 10 to 15 men who were actively violent at that point. I do not remember seeing any police around. As we were backing off, the attackers turned on a Life magazine reporting team whose photographer had been taking that picture seen a moment or so ago. Now, this is the amplifier that Risser was carrying. The strap here is broken. The amplifier had been hanging by this strap from Risser's neck. The inside, the part shaken loose and wrecked. And this is the camera magazine. It's rather sturdy metal, as you can hear, but you can see what was done as it was cracked here and here and in other places. Unfortunately, the film, which Levy had been taking as he was being attacked, was in this side of the magazine. If it had been here, we might have been able to retain some. And this is the camera itself. The inside, pretty well bounced around, and the lenses, very much shattered and dented. Considerable damage. We probably can do better by selling this camera now by the pound. Now, after we were forced away, that's when the attack on the riders themselves started. One of the riders, a white student, was banged up pretty badly. Two other students were hurt. And in trying to rescue a white girl member of the group, an aide to Attorney General Robert Kennedy, John Siegenthaler, was knocked out. It was as a result of this that Kennedy decided to send in the U.S. Marshals, some of whom were on duty yesterday morning at the bus station in Montgomery. Kennedy obviously was convinced Alabama Governor Patterson either could not or would not maintain order and afford equal protection under the law. Altogether, about 500 marshals were ordered to go to Montgomery. This contingent of officers put under the control of Deputy U.S. Attorney General Byron White. Yesterday morning, White met with Patterson. The governor said the federal agents were not wanted or needed. If they violated state laws, they'd be arrested. The federal government said the governor had contributed to the trouble by supporting the Freedom Riders. White said the marshals came to preserve order, guarantee interstate travel, protect constitutional rights.
Well, we can't do anything about it. We're not officers of the land. We're not the federal government. Please, now, let's try to get ourselves together.
This was another meeting, about 1,000 Negroes gathering in a Montgomery church last night to discuss the bitter problem. Among them were some of the Freedom Riders. The audience listened to a parade of speakers, ministers mostly, while a crowd of angry white people was building outside. One of the speakers, the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth of Birmingham.
The federal government has decided that Negro citizens must be protected from lawlessness and mobocracy. And that's why we applaud. It is a sin and a shame before God on a day like this that these people who govern us would let things come to such a sad state. But God is not dead. The most guilty man in this state tonight is Governor John Patterson.
Now let's stop applauding and let's yield, because we must carry on our work, and we might as well go ahead and win it now.
Amen.
There'll be no more compromise. Let's win it all.
Amen.
Right now.
The Negroes listened carefully for what was happening outside, where the presence of marshals was noted again inside by the Reverend Martin Luther King.
Right now at that door, and they are around this church, and according to the Attorney General, no mob will be allowed to assemble here in front of this church. But we are not giving in for what we are standing for. And maybe it takes something like this for the federal government to see that Alabama is not going to place any limit upon itself. It must be imposed from without. And I hope that we will remain calm, as we have done in so many touchy, difficult moments, and I know we're going to do it. God bless you.
Outside, state and local police arrived to help restrain the crowd. This, then, at this point, was the state and local law enforcement power, along with the federal, which had been brought in because of Washington's belief the state and local authorities would not move soon enough to prevent trouble. First on the scene that night were the U.S. Marshals. Later in the evening, the governor called in the National Guard, the state's military arm, and with four different agencies now on hand, the disorder eased. For how long remains to be seen. Herbert Kaplow, NBC News, reporting from Atlanta.
Montgomery remained tense but quiet today under the eyes of nearly 500 federal marshals and about 800 National Guardsmen. This report on the city as it appeared today was filmed on the scene with NBC's Bill Ryan.
Right behind me is the Negro First Baptist Church of Montgomery, Alabama. It was in this church that last night more than 1,000 Negroes were held in protective custody, while outside officials of the Alabama National Guard, of various other police organizations from Alabama, and federal marshals did what they could to restore order and to guarantee safe passage for the Negroes inside to their homes. Over here, the park in which the mob back and forth, dodging tear gas, it attempted to reach and violence inside. It's a scene that now is completely quiet, but last night was completely chaotic. Roamed Montgomery streets last night have been replaced by members of the Alabama National Guard. They patrol the city in trucks in constant contact with their command post headquarters, which has been set up in an armory only a few blocks from the Negro First Baptist Church, where last night's riotous scenes took place. The federal marshals, who last night were the first and for a time the only line of defense from the demonstrators, are off the streets of Montgomery. Their places have been taken by members of the Alabama National Guard, and the marshals are back at Maxwell Air Force Base in what one agent today described as a state of ready alert. Where last night we tried to trace the possible scenes of violence by the sounds of sirens, shots, and breaking glass, today the silent rumors whispered of tensions that flowed through the city as the tear gas last night had eddied and swirled around lawman and mob man, making both weep. Early this morning, the Montgomery County school supervisor asked radio and television stations to announce the schools would be open, as usual, today. So there were bomb threats to two schools. I went to a white high school, checking on rumors that a group of Negroes had gathered outside and were ready to try to enter the buildings. The rumor was unfounded. There was no crowd outside. A walk through the halls of the schools produced only students struggling with their studies as the time for final exams drew agonizingly close. Tonight, it's impossible to classify Montgomery, Alabama, as one kind of a city or another. There are people in the city who are tense, some with hatred still burning within them, some who burn with shame at what happened in and to their city. There are those who despair of what has taken place in Montgomery. There are those who hope things will remain quiet now, that the extremists of both sides will allow the moderates to seek a solution. Federal, state, county, and city officials, along with the citizens of Montgomery and Alabama, hope the worst has passed for them. And the rest of us who are in on this story join with them in that hope. Bill Ryan, NBC News.
John Siegenthaler was sent to Montgomery as a personal representative of President Kennedy and the Attorney General. When the riot broke out at the bus station, he attempted to aid two white girls who were members of the student group. He was attacked by the mob, beaten to the pavement, and left unconscious with a concussion. He's now in our Washington studios with NBC's Martin Agronsky.
Last Friday night, Mr. Siegenthaler, you conferred with Alabama's Governor Patterson in his office in the State House. You spoke to him as both a special representative of the President of the United States and as a assistant of the Attorney General of the United States. What did you tell him? What did he tell you?
Well, Mr. Gronsky, before I answer that question, I would like to say that my meeting with Governor Patterson was not the first contact which was made between representatives of the federal government and representatives of the state of Alabama. A number of calls were made by the president, by the attorney general, to the governor, to the lieutenant governor, to the commissioner of state police there in Alabama, in an effort to work this out. In an effort
trying to forestall it.
In an effort to take every step possible to keep, to make them realize their responsibilities. And it was only my visit there only culminated these other efforts to work this out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as to what I said to Governor Patterson, what he said to me, I expressed to him the grave concern that the president had, the grave concern the attorney general had, for the developments which had occurred there, the bombing of the bus at Anniston, the beating of the people at Birmingham a week ago Sunday, the failure of the buses to roll after that. And I told him that the federal government felt a very certain and strong responsibility for the protection of interstate carriers and their passengers. And he told me that the state of Alabama also felt concern, and the state of Alabama had the police force and the men and the will, the equipment and the desire to do the job, and that they intended to protect all of the people in Alabama, whether they were visitors or citizens. And while I was there, I conferred with the Attorney General by telephone in the governor's presence and told the Attorney General this, and it was after that that the buses moved on the next day.
Mm-hmm. All right, that was Friday night, Mr. Siegenthaler. Now, on Saturday, you were badly beaten in the streets of Montgomery by anti-integrationist hoodlums who attacked you without any interference from state or local police. Now, how do you explain this attack on your person on Saturday in the light of what Governor Patterson said to you on Friday night?
I would like to have more facts about why the police were not there at the bus station in Montgomery. It's clear that there was some police protection given to the bus on the highway. I would want to know why the police were not at the bus station before I tried to make a judgment on that.
You're not inclined to blame that on Governor Patterson?
Well, I don't know why the police were not there. I think the important thing is that they were not there and that mob rule was the result.
Yeah. Now, is the Justice Department satisfied that Governor Patterson's now cooperating to the fullest possible extent in the establishment of law and order in Montgomery?
Well, it's probably too early to say. There's a question, I think, a serious question about whether there was full cooperation or any cooperation last night at the church where Dr. King spoke. I think we'll have to look at the next hours and days and see what develops and then make a determination of that.
Okay. Mr. Siegenthaler, the Attorney General said today here in Washington that he wanted assurances by action. That was a phrase that he used in Montgomery. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think what he meant by that was that that the officials in Alabama will take control, that there will not be another incident such as the one at the bus station where the local authorities are noticeable only by their absence, that there will not be another riot in front of a church in Montgomery where the local authorities do not take steps to quell the mob. I think he wants some action. I mean, we've had statements by the governor, assurances by the governor. Now what we need is some positive steps by the state of Alabama to make it clear that they intend to take the matter into their hands.
As far as the Justice Department, the Attorney General is concerned, those steps as yet have not been forthcoming to your satisfaction.
Well, I think that when they are forthcoming, the marshals will be taken out of Alabama.
Yeah. Mr. Siegenthaler, Governor Patterson's also stated that he regarded the Freedom Riders, these bus riders, as troublemakers. What's the Justice Department's stand on that?
Well, I don't know that we have a stand on that. These people, these Freedom Riders, are interstate travelers. They feel, and they do, have a right to ride the buses. They have a right to be on these carriers. We do not control them. We can't stand at the state line in Alabama and say, keep out. They have a right to come in.
and we have a responsibility to protect interstate carriers and the passengers on interstate carriers. Regardless of what Governor Patterson may think their plan is or what they may think their role is, our role is clear. We have to protect them, and this is what we will try to do, I'm sure.
Is that the significance, too, of the arrests in Anniston, Alabama?
Well, the arrests in Anniston, I think, make it especially clear just what the role of the government is, why we're there. I mean, this is a clear federal violation, the bombing of the bus at Anniston. It's punishable by 20 years in the penitentiary upon conviction. Had someone been killed, the punishment would have been death. And so we have a very, very large responsibility. There's no question about that.
And the writ of the Justice Department and this guardianship of interstate transportation will go beyond Alabama to anywhere in the South or anywhere in this country?
Well, I'm sure it will.
That's your intent?
Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm. If the marshals are not able to maintain law and order, does the Attorney General intend to send in federal troops?
Well, I think that we will look forward to the marshals being able to control the situation. They have been able to control it up to this point. They did a magnificent job, as I understand it, last night in preventing bloodletting. And I think that we'll just have to wait and see. I don't think we should prejudge it. I think they are, as of now, they can. And if they don't, then we'll have to see at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Siegenthaler. This is Martin Nagronsky, NBC News, Washington.
Alabama Governor John Patterson was interviewed late today by NBC, and through the facilities of WSFA, Montgomery, Alabama, here is the interview by NBC's Frank Burgholzer.
Governor Patterson, many people seem to feel that your approach to the problems in Montgomery and in Alabama has been that the Freedom Riders more or less got what they deserved on Saturday here in Montgomery, and therefore they didn't really deserve the full basic protection of the police and law enforcement agencies. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm saying this is the way I believe it appears to many people, and I wanted to get your statement of how you approach this whole problem as the chief executive of Alabama.
We are very sorry that we had any incidents in the state at all, and we are very sorry about these particular incidents that you refer to. I'd like to approach this thing in this manner. These so-called Freedom Riders were people who came from other states into Alabama, not on any legitimate business, as visitors, not as people who were obeying the law, but as people who came here deliberately seeking a fight, deliberately seeking to violate our state laws and city ordinances, people who did not want to be protected by our police, people who would not cooperate with our police, and it's very difficult to keep a fellow out of a fight who is seeking a fight and looking for one. We did the very best job that we could. We certainly are capable of enforcing the law of this state, and we have, and we intend to continue to do so. But prior to the time that these people came to Alabama, Alabama was a peaceable state. Everybody was getting along well together here. We were working and cooperating together in a spirit of harmony and peace. But these people came into Alabama, and from the very first day, did everything they could to provoke the citizens of this state into some sort of public breach of the peace. And it's very difficult to enforce the law under such circumstances.
Well, Governor, it's not your position, is it, that the people of Alabama have a right to, in a sense, take the law into their own hands, to express their resentments in open hostility when it's expressed in the form of assault against other people?
Well certainly not. The people of Alabama are law-abiding citizens. These people that came into Alabama were law violators. They sought to violate our laws and provoke the people into incidents. And it's a very bad situation, particularly when the federal government, by its actions, encouraged these people to invade Alabama, so to speak, and has through its encouragement, made them bolder, and that it has resulted in some very serious breaches of the peace. And I think the federal government must bear some of the responsibility for what has happened here.
Governor, what you've described is, in a sense, the provocation of the arrival of these people in Alabama. Aside from provocation, what specific laws have they violated? Haven't they been within the law so long as they stayed in interstate travel, for example?
The Supreme Court of the United States has held that segregation in interstate travel is unconstitutional. But what these people did was to buy tickets from town to town in Alabama, and they'd get off the bus and then attempt to violate our city ordinances and state laws that required segregation of eating facilities and things of that sort. And they would let it be known in advance and advertise that they were coming for the purpose of forcing themselves onto other people and forcing themselves into situations that they knew the local people would resent. Due to these provocations at the various bus stops and the communities that they stopped in, they created breaches of the peace and provoked the local people into disturbances. And they're clear violations of state laws and city ordinances.
One final question, Governor. There is now martial law in Montgomery. If another group of freedom riders should arrive, what would be the action of the state police or the National Guard under martial law? Would they completely maintain order, or would they arrest the freedom riders? What are their orders, and what would their position be?
We will take whatever action is necessary to maintain law and order. We have the manpower and the reserves to do that, and we certainly intend to do so. It's very difficult to protect a man all the time who's looking for a fight and doing everything he can not to cooperate with the police and obey the instructions of our police who are trying to protect him. Now, I hope that these agitators outside of this state who are seeking to come here will stay at home and mind their own business. And I hope that the United States government and the President and the Attorney General of the United States will firmly take a stand and ask these agitators not to come to Alabama to violate our laws and to create breaches of the peace.
Thank you, Governor Patterson.
Thank you.
Now, those who followed the developments in the Montgomery bus boycott of 1955 and 56 will remember that while there were numerous incidents of violence, there was nothing approaching the current outbreak. And there is, I think, an explanation for this, an explanation, not a justification. Negroes are becoming more militant the longer their rights are denied, as illustrated by this drive against segregated waiting rooms, which centers on positive steps rather than negative actions as utilized in the bus boycott. At that time, Negroes were withholding themselves from a condition they considered intolerable. Now they are imposing themselves on a condition they consider intolerable. In the first, the chance of physical contact was removed. In the second, that chance has been enhanced. And it is the prospect of physical contact, primitive as that may sound, that is one of the root causes of racial practices in the South. Frank McGee, NBC News. Good evening.
Portions of this program were pre-recorded.
United States Attorney General Robert Kennedy says four men are under arrest in Alabama and charged with bombing and burning a bus carrying white and Negro freedom riders last week. Kennedy, who worked in his office all last night, says the four face penalties up to 20 years in prison and $10,000 fines if convicted. The Attorney General also says he is sending 200 more United States Marshals into Montgomery to guard against further violence. Congressional reaction to the use of federal marshals in Montgomery generally has been favorable today, with some pockets of dissent, notably from Southern delegations. Senate Democratic Leader Mike Mansfield says he heartily endorses using federal marshals. Some Southern congressmen have spoken against it, and the Alabama delegation has urged President Kennedy to withdraw the federal marshals from Montgomery. The Senate has voted down an amendment to the school aid bill that would have barred federal funds to states which were not moving toward full compliance with court desegregation orders. The move was a victory for administration backers who are trying to keep the measure free of all amendments which might endanger the entire bill. The lawmakers rejected assertions that the Alabama race riots this past weekend proved the need for a civil rights rider on that legislation. The Soviet press has been pointedly ignoring Alabama's racial troubles today. The absence of comment in the Communist Party newspaper Pravda and the Soviet government organ Izvestia presumably is an attempt to soft-pedal anti-American propaganda before the June meeting between President Kennedy and Premier Nikita Khrushchev. In Europe, the race disturbances were front page news, however. Beneath the headlines were pictures of a bleeding student, a policeman beating a Negro, and also a Ku Klux Klan meeting. A United States Marshal says there appeared to be no organized leadership of a white mob which sought to attack a Negro church during a racial riot at Montgomery last night. William Dan says that he and about 120 other marshals moved in to help break up the riot at the request of a state investigator. Bayon is an alcohol and tobacco tax unit agent from Jacksonville, Florida. At a news conference today, Bayon was asked about the makeup of the mob. He said most of the ones he saw appeared to be about 20 years of age. In his words, there was no sign of leadership, although there were individuals egging them on, unquote. A former member of the Federal Communications Commission says his car, burned at last night's rioting, was driven by British authoress Jessica Mitford, a relative of Sir Winston Churchill. The automobile was owned by Clifford Durr, now a Montgomery attorney. Durr has been active in defense of civil liberties cases in the capital city. Miss Mitford was in Montgomery to write a story for Esquire magazine. Miss Mitford, who writes under her maiden name, is the wife of Robert Truhaf, a nephew of the wartime British Prime Minister. Alabama Attorney General McDonnell Galleon says the commander of the American Nazi Party has promised not to stop in Alabama. Galleon says Lincoln Rockwell of Arlington, Virginia, notified him that the only stops in the state will be for gas. Galleon says Rockwell telegraphed him after receiving a wire from the Attorney General saying that the Nazis would not be welcomed in Alabama. The Attorney General says Lincoln's wire indicates that a Nazi group is to drive through the state, although no time for the drive has yet been announced.